at mnhowlive.org for download, to download the files. Okay. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen.
Okay, I assume that I am not alone this evening. But for the record, are there any compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Yes.
Yeah, we're here.
And
yep. You bet.
Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. And I think we're just doing it by the chat function right now because there is no live meeting. Okay. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read what is how?
Hi, I'm Sheila, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sheila.
Hey, Sheila, welcome.
Thank you. What is HOW? HOW is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did HOW begin? HOW began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in HOW sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Sheila. Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hello, everyone. It's Maureen A. in Virginia.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, thank you. The only requirement, Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the HOW concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, quote, "We understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms." And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Maureen. I need to say something right here. I'm in an assisted living facility, and the nurse will be coming around about 7:15, 7:30 to give me my meds. So I will have to step out for that for just a second there. So I just want to let you all know that that's happening. Would someone please read the how concept?
I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revy Tell. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Revy Tell.
Hi. Okay, the how concept. The Overeaters Anonymous how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the program will offer any sustained abstinence to those who use, to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love of these ideals offer, a love that these ideals offer will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The evening phone meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands Him, open our minds and our hearts to the love with which is manifested in this meeting. Amen.
Thank you, Revy Tell.
Thanks, Revy Tell.
Would someone please read reflections for the newcomer?
We currently don't have anybody signed up for reflections for the newcomer. Does someone have that handy and would be willing to do that?
I do, Sheila. It's Megan in Virginia.
Hi, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Hey, all. Grateful to be here. Reflections for the newcomer. Oops, hold on. I need to make you guys smaller. There we go. Okay. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based upon the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Doctor's opinion, big book, Roman numeral, page 26, paragraph 2. If a newcomer slips, get a new one. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. The Family Afterwards, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. Thanks for letting me read. I pass.
Thanks, Megan.
Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
Hi, it's Sheila again, a compulsive overeater. I'll take that one. So excerpt.
Hi, Sheila.
Thank you.
Sheila.
From step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food, long after it began to cause us misery. And I'll pass.
Thanks, Sheila.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
You there, Pam?
Hi.
Hey, Liz. Welcome.
I jumped the gun there, Pamela.
That's okay.
Okay.
I was just looking for someone to read how it works. So okay. Time and you're not late.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Liz A., grateful compulsive eater and food addict in Orange Beach, Florida. How it works. Hi. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Thanks, I pass.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
Would someone please 12 steps of recovery?
Hi, yeah, that's me. I'm Emily. I'm a food addict in Florida.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, Emily. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thanks. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we had admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. That's from the Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Emily.
Thanks, Emily.
Would someone please read the 12 traditions?
Hi, yes. This is Rena D., grateful compulsive overeater.
Hi, Rena.
Hi, Rena. Welcome.
Hey, Rena.
Thank you. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Rena.
Thanks, Rena.
The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
Wow.
No way.
Okay. Yeah.
So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? Do we have a timekeeper tonight?
Sheila, no one has signed up to be a timekeeper yet, so if someone could volunteer, that'd be great. Looks like Jody L.
Okay. Thank you, Jody, for...
Thanks, Jody.
Thanks, Jody.
Participants receive timing prompts via chat. Okay, and the first one is the abstinent plan of eating.
Yes, thank you. Hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi.
Hey, Ruth.
Hi. Tool one, plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The HOW disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. HOW abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in HOW. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive eater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. One, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. 2, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. 3, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use the measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. So I'm going to verbally describe this because I didn't actually bring my abstinence kit to the phone to talk to you because I kind of rushed in from work. But so my abstinence kit in my kitchen, I have a digital scale and I get my food plan out. I have it right beside me. I will go to the first item and I will put my plate on the scale. I'll push the button to zero it out. And then if my first item is 6 ounces or 4 ounces of rice, I put that on the scale until it's 4 ounces, not 3.9, not 4.1. And then I'll zero it again. And then I'll go to the next item on the food, on my food plan and weigh that. I do weigh almost everything now. It is important though, to, if you're weighing things, to not weigh thing, like not to measure something over something else. So it's, if it spills on it, you can't take some of it off. If you do use cups or spoons, you just need to level it off. And what is in the cup is, or spoon is for you, and what's on the outside of the cup is not. My abstinence kit, also in my trunk, I have backup foods in case something's not good that I have with me. I have phone numbers to call. At work, I have extra scales. I have batteries. I have a small scale that I use for when I'm going out to eat. I also have a bag that I use for when I'm going out to eat. Things that I know that help me to make it easier, like a container that's easier to measure, like a salad, for example, that's tall. So you can put it on the scale and not have everything falling off where you can't see around it. But let's see, I think that's basically what I do with my abstinence kit. So I'll go on then. 4, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. 5, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. 6, we do not drink alcohol. 7, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed 5th or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HAL program. It's not the extra string bean that counts, it is the decision to take it. So again, my name is Ruth. I'm in a HAL sponsor in Connecticut. So I guess I was thinking as I was enumerating the different things that we all do in HAL with our food plan, I was thinking about how when I first came to HAL, which was in 2006, I kind of wanted to argue about some of the different items on there, like maybe how we counted sugar or whether I should be really drinking 64 ounces of water. Why can't it be 64 ounces of liquid or whatever? And it wasn't until I really just decided, okay, this, my way hasn't worked. I've been working regular OA since the 80s and was not able to maintain my abstinence. And I was desperate enough to say, okay, this has worked. I hear this working for people in this HAL program. So I'm going to try it and just stop questioning every single thing. You know, maybe I might have a better way of doing it, but it hadn't worked for me. So I just had a lot of clarity from the things that are enumerated here. And we're all doing the same thing. I mean, we all have different food plans, but the way we are approaching food is the same. So we're all weighing and measuring. We're not, I guess the other thing I really had to learn was to if I needed to make changes, to call somebody first, that I don't get to make decisions about food. And so having a food plan, you know, I give input to my dietitian and my weight that I measure once a month originally and now once a week is an indication of whether my food plan is working or not, whether I'm staying within my goal range. But the fact that I've been within my range now for, well, since 2007 maybe, I've been within my goal range all this time. It's working for me. So, but I don't get to make those decisions. So actually I have been kind of drifting down a little bit lately, and I know at some point I may need to call my dietitian and have some changes made. And I'm not sure if it's maybe because I was exercising more or something, but I don't have to make that decision. And I can't make decisions about food because that's when I get into trouble. Let's see. The other thing I thought of as I was reading this, I know I just went through my food that I had in my trunk. I had 2 weeks worth of non-perishables in my trunk, and I just moved it down to my basement. But I had to replenish something, and I happened to look at the label in the store, and I was surprised because something that I've been buying, it's a salad dressing that I buy and use. And I was surprised when I looked at the store, the label was still the same, the front, but sugar is now the fourth ingredient, I think. And then when I got back home, I looked at my bottle at home, and it's the fifth ingredient. So you do have to every now and then check things, especially if you're having food thoughts or cravings that maybe something you're eating, maybe it's not what you think it is or whatever. Let's see. If you're having trouble with water, I just encourage you to talk in your hookups about how to get your water in, because it took me a while to figure out what would work for me. And I think actually that's a good advice for anybody, is if you're having trouble with anything about the program, it's a great thing to ask your hookups, you know, how do you get your water in, or how do you make sure you're on time for your sponsor? I also love what it says about that it's not the extra string bean that counts. It's the decision to take it that gets us into trouble. And my kids, I have three kids, and you know, they, sometimes I feel like it looks a little crazy that I'm so meticulous about what I'm eating, or maybe out in a restaurant or something, you know, that I, the way that I weigh and measure. But for the most part, I know that it really does work for me to just stick to what my food plan is. And, you know, I plan it in the evening. I give it to my sponsor the next morning, and then I check it off and cross it off as I go throughout the day. And then that structure just really helps me. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you, Ruth.
Appreciate your service. Would someone please read and share on sponsorship?
Okay, sponsorship.
Hey, Ruby Tell.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Ruby Tell. Welcome.
Trying this virtual background thing, it's not working well. All right, sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. The sponsor must be attentive not only to what the person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The how concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. Okay, let me get back to the screen here. So once again, I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict, and my name is Ravi Tal. And my experience with sponsorship, both given and received, it's actually on my gratitude, often on my gratitude every day I think about it. I would not be able to work any of this program without sponsorship. And I love that I've had sponsors in other sort of formats of OA, and it was nothing like the unity and the uniformity of the experience that I've had here. And I love that we have unique personalities, different experiences, yet we go through a very structured and similar process. And I love that. I love that my sponsor can empathetically share their experience, strength, and hope, and allow me to have mine. And when trouble shows up, whether it's mental, emotional, or spiritual, once again, they will share what their experience has been. And one of my earlier sponsors in program, who to this day knows that her nickname is my fairy godmother through thick and thin, has taken me through the 70 questions, and it took me 9 months to get through it. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. So 70 or 80 days is the minimum, I would say. There is no graduation date. And I'm so glad that someone took my hand and walked me through those first three steps, because I was so far gone. And I needed someone to support my program, as well as the emotional and mental support of where I was at the time. So gratefully today, I still am in contact with one of my other sponsors who's helping me get through a Big Book Awakening style of the fourth step. And what amazing comfort to do work with extremely Thank you. What amazing opportunities I have to do comfortable formats of work with very uncomfortable topics. So I appreciate learning. I appreciate being able to learn from the Big Book Awakenings. And I appreciate being able to learn from more than one sponsor. And I appreciate the chance to be a sponsor, because when I hear somebody else's experience as they go through their questions, they actually give me a wonderful review of steps 1, 2, and 3. And so it's a great jog for me through old memory lane there, you know, what the details are supposed to be like before we get to step 4. Anyhow, I think I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ravi Tal. It's good to hear from you.
Thanks, Ravi Tal.
For the sake of time, will all how and OA sponsors please join me in the sharing only the following: how long in OA and how long abstinent in OA and or how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. And Ravi Tal, will you go first and I'll go last?
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so once again, gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Ravi Tal. I walked into the OA rooms in 2004. And was introduced to the two-hour OA How rooms on May 23rd of 2017, and where I became abstinent and continue to remain abstinent to this day by the grace of God and the power of this program. My body has released, it's sort of fluctuating now because I'm less active, and I'm going to say approximately 100 pounds. I don't really know where I'm at right now. And I do not have any openings right now. Thank you.
Sheila?
My apologies. I didn't read the last of the paragraph here. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your videos and clicking the raise hand button on the participants panel, or pressing star and 9 on your phone, or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting monitor remutes for your line. Let's move through the line quickly. Okay, who did you say?
Sheila.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater. I came directly to Howe in May of 2015. My abstinence date's May 19th of 2015, and I've been relieved of over 90 pounds. Pass.
Megan?
Hey all, this is Megan in Virginia. I'm an OA House sponsor and a compulsive overeater. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 85 to 90 pounds in program. I pass.
Maureen?
Hi everyone, Maureen A. in Virginia. I joined traditional OA in March of 2019 and became sugar abstinent. Then I joined OA Howe in January of 2020, became fully abstinent, and have released 40 pounds. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Ruth?
This is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm an OA Howe sponsor. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008, and I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss.
Tamara? Oh, sorry. Let's do Mary. Mary, you're muted.
Okay, okay, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
You can be heard.
Okay, this is Mary, OA House sponsor here in St. Paul. First OA House meeting was on Halloween 2012. Became absent the next day, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Lewis?
Trials over food. My name is Lewis from Maryland. My first OA Howe meeting was in March of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence date is from January 3rd of last year, and I'm down over 80 pounds from my top weight. So Lewis from Maryland.
Nancy?
Thank you, everyone. Nancy D., compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of Howe in June of 2017. I became abstinent on August the 27th of 2017 with a back-to-back abstinence date of July 3rd, 2018, and I've been relieved of 95 pounds. Thank you.
Hootie Rose?
Hi, this is Hoodie, compulsive overeater, and OA Howe Twitter, former sponsor. The recommended absence date is June 14th of 2015. I have released 14 pounds, including 3 absent pregnancies, and without a cast.
Jackie?
I'm Jackie. Came to my first OA Howe meeting spring of 2015. Didn't come back until spring of 2016. My abstinence date is May 30th of 2016. I'm down 115 pounds from my top weight. 88 of that has been in Howe.
Caroline W.
Hi, I'm Caroline from Columbus, Ohio, OA Howe sponsor. I am a compulsive eater and bulimic. My back-to-back abstinence recommitted dates from September the 6th of 2016. By the grace of God and the power of this fellowship, I'm maintaining a 40-pound weight loss and free from binge purging for more than 13 years. Again, Caroline in Columbus, Ohio. Pass.
Christina C.
Hey, everyone. It's Christina in New Mexico. I'm a sponsor in OA Howe, maintaining about a 50-pound weight loss. My abstinence date is June 2017, so grateful to be here. Thanks.
Jane?
Hi, everyone. I'm Jane on Vancouver Island in Canada. My back-to-back abstinence date is September 19th, 2019, and I have lost about 16 pounds, I think, in Howe. Thanks. I'll pass.
Rebecca?
Hi, my name is Rebecca B. I'm a compulsive overeater in Ohio. I'm a sponsor in the OA How 2-hour format. I have been in OA How the last year and 3 months, and it took me a year to get my head out of my rear end. Basically, I have back-to-back for the last just over 3 months of abstinence, and I've lost 70 pounds, and I am now at maintenance weight.
Howard?
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 34 years. I have 18 years and 10 months of abstinence in OA How, and I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
All right. Is there anybody else? If you're a co-host, you have to let me know. Or if you're on the phone, you can push *6.
Yep. Pamela, compulsive overeaters. Are we at the end?
Give it a few seconds here.
Hi, this is Peggy from Michigan. I'm a recovering food addict. I've been on hold since 2 minutes after 7. Thank you for acknowledging folks on the phone. I'll remember to be on time next time. My back-to-back abstinence date is January 10th of this year. I am, by the grace of God, down 35 pounds and up 10 pounds from my low weight. Very grateful. And I do follow our 2-hour program. Thank you.
Chris H. I see your video is going, Chris, but I don't know. You have to unmute yourself. All right, you can just go, Pam, it looks like.
Okay. Hi, my name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive overeater and a 2-hour How format sponsor. I came into OA about 40 years ago. I stayed in there from 76 to 98. Then I left for 20 years, and I came back January 22nd, 2016. Then I had to recommit for June 15th, 2017, coming up pretty soon for my 3rd anniversary. My weight gain or lost is between my doctor, my sponsor, my nutritionist, and that's where I am.
We got one more, Catsy, if you want to go ahead.
That's right.
Unmute yourself. Catsy, you got to unmute yourself.
Am I unmuted?
Yeah, you are.
Okay, I'm sorry. My video went at start. I apologize. I'm Catsy, compulsive overeater and bulimic from Montana. I'm an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is April 25th of 2014. I'm down 25 pounds from my top weight. Again, I'm Catsy from Montana. Pass.
All right, go ahead, Pam.
Feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion. And if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we've been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Okay, can I have someone to read and share on anonymity?
Hi, my name is Rebecca B. in Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Rebecca.
Welcome.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca. Welcome.
Anonymity. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12th step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12th step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If the disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may, in effect, help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have had no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told, your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery, recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here and here.
Thank you. At the in-person meetings, go here, here, and, you know, anything. And all the things like that. I wanted to talk about anonymity tonight because of how important it is to me in my specific journey to OA How. I started out in regular OA in 2 years, lost 110 pounds, was at maintenance weight, only my sponsor and I weren't getting along. And everybody in my home group knew who my sponsor was because this person was also in the home group with everybody. And it was, you know, well known whose sponsors were whom, well, the grammar there is killing me, but anyway, everybody knows everybody's sponsor, right? Well, in OA How, that's not how we do it. Just like you don't mention to someone else, oh, I talked to Susie so-and-so and she said, blah. Well, you don't say that to one, you don't say who you've had a call with that day of your 3, 4, 10 calls, whatever you do. I've had days where I've done 10. It's been awesome. And you also don't tell who your sponsor is. And this is why my situation, you know, I kind of have a falling out with the sponsor, more just like, well, I don't agree with you on, I'm not abstinent and yet I should be working step 9. Or at least I'm slow. My situation was a slow fall, snowballing into relapse, or at least me admitting it was relapse. I don't have problems like that in How, thank goodness. And I didn't have anyone I could talk to about my disagreement with my sponsor over needing to do step 9 while I'm not really sure if I'm abstinent, not doing well with the food or with anything else and not feeling ready. I didn't have anyone else I could talk to because everyone knew who my sponsor was. Everybody loved my sponsor. Everybody loved me. Why would we, you know, there was so much in my head about, just what could happen if I made a big deal out of, well, I think this person's wrong. Thanks. You know, what their advice was or how they worked their program was not helping me. And so that's what kept me out. It was me keeping me out, don't get me wrong, but my fears over what other people would say, should I have a fight with my sponsor or need advice about my sponsor or my situation that my sponsor couldn't give me, I was in relapse for 2.5 years over that. And I'm sure there's other people with similar stories. So for that reason, I advocate for strong anonymity. Anyway, yeah, that's all I got. I'll pass. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Can I have someone read and share on telephone calls?
Hi, this is Betty. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Betty.
Welcome.
Betty, welcome.
Hi, Betty. Hi, Betty. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. I'm sharing on the telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard to handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out and extend that same help to others. In HOW, we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. Well, I would like to say that telephone is really important to me, and I would think to all others right now, that being with the isolation that's been superimposed on us right now during the pandemic, it's really important to reach out to others, and we're not able maybe to do that physically, but the telephone remains there as a means to reach out to our people who are also suffering and recovering with us. And so it is just essential to me that I have a phone. It's kind of miraculous. I can just pick it up and push the buttons and I can talk to somebody. So isolation is a key factor for me. And the telephone gives me a chance to speak out and to also just escape from the isolation and be there for myself. Excuse me, time's up? 1 minute, thank you. Okay, so in the reading it said that we use it between meetings, and I'm so grateful for this virtual meeting. It gives me so much comfort and strength and helps me to keep moving along. We're asked to make 4 phone calls a day, and of course the one to my sponsor is really important. And the 3 others, sometimes I really have to work at, and I've gone so far as to set a timer for myself just to remind me. I think that was all I wanted to share about that, but the telephone is our lifeline and gives us such an opportunity to help and to be helped. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty. Would someone please read and share on meetings?
Carlos Over Food. My name is Lewis from Maryland.
Done.
Lewis, welcome.
Hi, Lewis. Welcome.
Thank you. Meetings are gatherings of 2 or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least 1 HOW meeting a week. I'm so, so grateful for meetings, because the thing that's important to me about meetings is that it gives me an example. And I live through it by participating in the meeting. It gives me an example of what it is to be abstinent, what abstinent behavior is about. Because what we hear in meetings is the tools, the program, and we hear a lot of people sharing honestly their experience with both the program and the tools. We gather and perform a lot of service here. We pray. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. So all of these, and we sit and listen, most importantly. These are all behaviors that I need to be performing outside of the meeting. So it's so important for me to get that experience firsthand in engaging in the fellowship. Now, it's more of a formal structure here in meetings. Because we talked a little bit about earlier about the telephone tool, but this also gives us an example of what it means to talk program. So I'm so grateful for this tool. It's been invaluable to me during this pandemic, and it is critical to my recovery. So this meeting in particular has been an outstanding example for me of a wonderful meeting, and I'm so grateful for you all and the work that goes into putting this together. So thank you all for letting me share.
Thanks, Lewis.
Hi,
would someone please read literature and writing?
Hey, that's me. Hi, guys. This is Megan in Virginia, compulsive overeater. And
hi, Megan.
Sponsor. Hey. Okay, I lost my tool. Hold on. There we go. I'm getting there. I forgot to page up. Reading. No, I apologize, guys. I thought I was all set.
I can read it if you wanted to pitch on it.
I got there. Thank you, okay. Sheila. Literature. We study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for Today for Daily Meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to writing our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us simply by thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. Excuse me. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and to better discern any necessary action. So I am really grateful for our literature and writing and the fact that it is a tool that we're required to use every day. If I was not required to use this tool, like many of our other tools, I wouldn't use it. So it's really essential for me. When I was thinking about this tool, what I found was that I love the ritual and the routine that this tool, these two tools combined, give me. They're like the bookends of my day. I start my day first thing in the morning by usually some writing. I usually finish up my writing in the morning. And at the end of the day, the opposite bookend is I write down my food for the next day,
I write down my 10th step or my inventory, looking back over the day and reflecting on where I did well, where I could have maybe done a little bit better, and you know, kind of evaluating how things went, if there's anything I need to speak with my sponsor about. I write gratitudes every night that I give to my sponsor in the morning, and then I will usually do my reading at night. I'll read, and sometimes I'll jot down a few notes, and then the next morning, I find that things percolate overnight for me, and then in the morning, I usually write a bit more, whatever's come up, you know, as I've reviewed and thought about it. And it's really a wonderful way to both begin and end my day with program. I love the ritual and the calmness that it gives me. It gives me a moment to pause and reflect, and I need that. In thank you, is that 1 minute? I saw that. I need that minute. I need those few minutes to collect myself and reflect on how the day went. And then the writing also really helps me to work the steps. We predominantly work our steps with this tool. So it helps to, I also put after writing something down, there will often be something revealed when I put pen to paper that I never would have come to just running around in my own head. And I think that's my time. I really appreciate being able to be of service today. Bye, all.
Thank you, Megan. Would someone please read service?
Hello, good evening, everyone. Nancy D., compulsive overeater.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome. Hey, Nancy.
Thank you. Too late.
Service. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you. Carrying the message. To the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery, putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole, are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been giving. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise, always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. Again, good evening, everyone. Nancy, the compulsive reader. And I just want to say that service, the tool that I'm doing tonight, I'm doing honestly because I was asked. However, the service that I wanted to speak about is, or that I will speak about, is that I've been of recent been able to practice or participate in or perform is the service of simply cooperating. Cooperating, whether it be in the grocery lines or with my family. And I'm certainly not suggesting that I don't use my voice. And if there's a time when I need to let it be heard, and it'll absolutely need to be heard. But aside from that, just to cooperate has been a great service. I believe it's been a great service, not only for others, but absolutely for myself. So I'm today grateful for service and I'm doing what I can. And that is that. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
Will all people doing service for OA at any level, please stand and applaud service.
Service.
The Minnesota OA How live meeting is a friendly place and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star and six on your telephone's keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you would like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and best times to call. And is there anyone new to this meeting or new to OA How that would like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Sally from Anchorage, Alaska. I'm new to this meeting.
Hi, Sally.
Welcome, Sally.
Hey, Sally. Welcome, Sally.
Sally, would you like, here she's muted. Anyone else?
Hi. Sure. Hey, this is Sarah. I am in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I am new to How, and I would love to get phone calls. I'm in Eastern Standard Time, and my phone number is 919-271-1143.
Be sure to put that on the chat for us, Sarah.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome, Sarah.
Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
There was one other person. I accidentally lowered their hand. So if they can raise their hand again, I'll unmute them. And sorry about that. Unmute and then...
Okay, my name's Joanne. I'm from Minneapolis. I'm new to this meeting and 7 days into coming back into OA How with more willingness than ever.
Welcome, Joanne.
Glad you're back.
Be sure and put your phone number on the chat, please.
iPhone? Whoever is... There's one new person. It says iPhone. I don't know who it is.
Hi. I think this is, I don't know if you can hear me. This is Gina. I'm new to the meeting. And boy, this was really insightful just being part of this group for just one evening already. There's so much hope. And that's really exciting.
Welcome, Gina.
Hey, Gina. Welcome. Glad you're here.
Glad you're here.
And Gina, be sure and put your phone number on the chat so they
thank you
know we're weak here so you can get phone calls.
Okay, thank you so much.
Anyone else? This meeting has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask all deaf participants to please utilize the chat to let us know you are here. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to ASL underscore name underscore state abbreviation and underscore city. May we please have a treasurer's report?
Is there... I don't believe we have a treasurer's report tonight.
Okay. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. Okay, I'm going to read the promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Sorry about that. Are these extravagant promises? we think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Okay, are there any announcements for the good of OA How?
Hi, yes, this is Sheila, still a compulsive overeater. Just wanted to remind everyone one more time of the upcoming Big Book study, the virtual Big Book study that will, I guess it's this coming Saturday. It's May 30th and the following Saturday, I think that's June 6th. It's a kind of a full day Big Book study with Lori C. from Canada doing the presenting on that. If you're interested in registering for that, you can register at overeaters.org, and I will take and put a link to that registration in the chat in just a few minutes. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Sheila.
Yep. Mary, can you hear me?
Yep. Can.
Okay. Sheila and I are people that helped find leaders for this meeting. And we have leaders all the way through the last, we need a leader for the last Tuesday in June. So if you are interested in doing service for this meeting as being a leader last Tuesday in June and then going forward into July, please contact either Sheila or I and we will get you signed up. So my information is in the chat. Thanks.
Thanks, Mary. Any other announcements? I don't want to miss anyone.
Harvey Tao? Harvey Tao, you're muted.
Unmute myself, thank you. I don't remember how we do it at this meeting, but I am celebrating 3 years of abstinence and I'm not quite sure how we acknowledge that here. I don't remember, forgive me, especially not virtually. I just wanted to share that this is first week of year four by the grace of God and the power of this program.
Yeah, we're coming up to that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Any other announcements? Literature and books, newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.ohowpfonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At How meetings, we recognize the milestone of recovery for those working the How program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Leader also gives medallions. Okay. I don't see the 6 years and so forth. Sheila, can you help me?
I'm sorry, Pamela, what is it?
Well, I thought I was going to go through the medallions, but I don't see it listed here.
Oh, yeah, so just take, you can just take in ad lib. So just, you know, take and maybe ask if there's, you know, anyone with 10 or more years, and then you can do 5 to 9 and just kind of count backwards that way.
Okay. All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone celebrating 10 or more years of abstinence? 5 to 9. 4 years. 3 years.
Yay!
Woohoo! Hey, Rebby Tao!
Congratulations, Rebby Tao.
Thank you.
Ravi Tell, do you want a medallion sent to you?
If possible, I don't know. Is it possible to do that? I'm in.
Absolutely. Ravi Tell, it's Sheila. If you want to just, you can either send me a text or send a private chat to me and we'll get you a medallion mailed.
I'll call you. I'll leave
Fabulous.
You. Wonderful. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay. 2 years. 1 year. Okay. 9 months. 6 months. 3 months. 2 months. 1 month or 30 days. And now comes the most powerful medallion, and that is, I forget what you call it. I forget.
The 24-hour medallion?
The 24-hour medallion. Thank you, Sheila. Is there anyone that would like to receive a 24-hour medallion? This does not mean that you're abstinent, just that you've heard something and that you would like to give it a try.
Christina, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Chris.
That's technically I'm on day one.
Great.
Yay, awesome, Chris.
Thank you.
Yay, way to go, Chris.
Thanks.
You can, would you like a medallion sent to you, Chris?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, if you contact Sheila, she'll make sure that you get one.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else want a 24-hour chip? Okay. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks the sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the touch love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, a reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step ups tonight?
Not tonight, keep coming back.
Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. Anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. And are there anniversaries tonight? Yes, there is. Let's see if I can find the reading now. I don't have the reading. Where do I find the reading? I'm sorry for taking up this time, but I don't.
It is on the MN How Live website.
Oh, gosh. Not on the internet, so.
Would you like me to read it, Pamela?
Would you?
Okay, I can read that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, sorry, Ravi Tell, I don't have a candle ready. Do you have one?
Actually, I do. I'll go and get it.
Oh, there we go. Lovely.
Beeswax, everybody. Enjoy.
Okay. Revital, now comes the biggest question yet. What about the practice of these principles in all our affairs? Can we love the whole pattern of living as eagerly as we do the small segment of it that we discover when we try to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety? Can we bring the same spirit of love and tolerance into our sometimes deranged family lives that we bring to our AA or OA group? Can we have the same kind of confidence and faith in these people who have been infected and sometimes crippled by our own illness that we have in our sponsors? Can we actually carry the OA spirit into our daily work? Can we meet our newly recognized responsibilities to the world at large? And can we bring new purpose and devotion to the religion of our choice? Can we find a new joy of living and trying to do something about all these things? Furthermore, how shall we come to terms with seeming failure or success? Can we now accept and adjust to either without despair or pride? Can we accept poverty, sickness, loneliness, and bereavement with courage and serenity? Can we steadfastly content ourselves with the humbler, yet sometimes more durable satisfactions when the brighter, more glittering achievements are denied us? The OA answer to these questions about living is yes, all these things are possible. We know this because we see monotony, pain, and even calamity turned to good use by those who keep on trying to practice OA's 12 steps. And if these are facts of life for the many alcoholics or compulsive overeaters who have recovered in OA, they can become the facts of life for many more. And that is from the AA 12 and 12, page 111. Congratulations, Revital.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Congratulations, Revital.
Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you, my tribe, my witnesses, my supporters, and my fellows. Thank you, all of you.
Attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. Okay, and how much time do I have to share? Who's the timekeeper?
That's me.
Okay. Do I have time for 10 minutes or less?
Pamela, do you want to do like maybe 5 minutes?
Sure. Be glad to. Just give me a time's up thing. That would be good. My name is Pamela and I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm a food addict. And I'm a 2-hour HOW sponsor. I came into OA over 40 years ago, and I was there for a good 20 years, lost over 100 pounds. I was there for the vanity and not the sanity. And when I came in January of 2017, I came in for the sanity. I knew that that's what I needed. I was miserable. My husband was ready to leave me. My grandchildren wouldn't talk to me. My son didn't want anything to do with me. And I was devastated. And I grew up in an alcoholic, mentally insane household. My father was a schizophrenic alcoholic. My mother was a narcissistic alcoholic. And I was abused sexually from the age 8 to 12 till after my father had died. I was witness to my father's suicide, so was my brother. And I went directly to booze, because that's what was available at that time. And I grew up with a lot of booze around. My mother used to put whiskey in my milk. And I tried to, and I ate. I was always told that I was a fat girl, and I'm going to put this picture up. I don't know if you can see it or not. This picture is when I came, when I was in 2010, and one of them is from 2019, and I had lost about 50 pounds at that time. I was told and sung to that I was a little fat, you know, fatty, fatty, 2x4, you can't fit through the kitchen door. That was me. And I went through that for all my life. Here's another picture. And this is what I looked like when I got married in 79. I was down to 108 pounds, and that was when I was in my first OA program. I have many more pictures here, but I'm not gonna go through them. I don't have enough time. And when I went on my honeymoon, I had restricted my food so badly that I became ketotic, and I was passing out all over the place, and we were in Bermuda. And my husband turned around to look for me, and I was passed out under a rack of clothes. Then that's where my eating took me back then. I moved down here to Florida 20 years ago. And I did go to a couple of OA meetings when I first got down here, but I just didn't stick with me. I was new. I'm not a good socializer. I wasn't able to at that time to take a risk and get outside of myself. So I stayed away, and I just worked on my recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous. And 2017, about 5 years before that, I would meet a girl of my friend, and she would, she looked good, and you just saw the spiritual light about her. And I kept asking her what she was doing, and she would tell me the restrictions of the program. And she said, you probably wouldn't like it because there's, you know, all these restrictions. And I said, you're right. I wouldn't like it. And I did that for 5 years before I came in. And I knew I needed to be here. The doctors wanted me to lose weight. And when I finally started losing weight in OA How, and that was not my focus. It's still today is not my focus. I am not one to ponder on the scale. That's time. Thank you, dear. And I'll leave with this, is that the first month that I was in OA How, my diabetic, they took me off almost all my insulin, and I was taking 400 units a day. So that's what I'd like to leave the meeting with. I would like to introduce Catsy, our guest who qualifies for 20 minutes. And if she would unmute and turn on her video, Jody will let her know. You could let Jody know how you would like her to time you.
Hi, Jody. Can you give me a 10 and a 2, please?
Very good.
Thank you, Jody.
Hi, I'm Kathy, compulsive overeater and bulimic from Montana.
Hey, Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Welcome.
Hi, guys. I guess I wanted to start off with a quote I woke up or wrote on this morning in my reading, and it talked about simple truths come in complicated ways when I am ego-driven. And when I first read this, I thought, what does that mean? And then I was thinking about my leading or sharing on the meeting, and all of a sudden all this chatter started in my head. I began to think, oh, I'm not going to say anything worthwhile. You know, I don't know how to do this virtual Zoom meetings, you know, and all this. And it became really obvious very fast that how my ego can really run me into the ditch if I'm not careful. So my goal tonight is to keep it simple, and hopefully something I say will help others in this short. I'll try and keep it short. I grew up on a ranch in Montana. I'm the youngest of five kids. And I felt like from a very early age that food was always played a bigger role in my life than it did for the rest of my family. I felt like I was always, sugar always called my name. My mom was cooked for a large crew of hired help. And so there was always lots of food around, lots of baked things. My mom was an excellent cook. And so food always, you know, was the center of celebrations. I mean, everything kind of centered around the dining room table. But I was different than everyone else. Others could have their portion and get up and walk away. I was always wanting more. I wanted more than my fair share. And I was sneaky, even from a young age, when it came to food, because I had so much guilt and shame about how much I ate, because I knew I was, my behavior was different than others. And I always felt like I never quite fit in, you know, in school and in sports. I always felt like, you know, kind of, I wasn't super athletic, and so, you know, kind of the last one to be picked on teams, and, you know, and so I grew up with that mentality, you know, if you can have it, but you're gonna have to work harder, you know, than anyone else, and that kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality, you know, and, you know, don't count on anyone but yourself, and all of that just really helped me to isolate when it came to my eating. Just because I felt like I can do this. I can, you know, I should be able to control my food. I should be able to control my weight. And all it did was just keep me sick for a very long time. When I got into high school, because I felt like I never felt in or fit in, I turned to food, and my weight started to go up. And kids can be kids, you know, and they would make comments about my clothes and how they fit, how tight they were. And every time somebody would make a comment or a sideways glance, I took it, you know, to heart, and would really just want to run away and hide. And then between my freshman and sophomore year, I found a book which talked about a girl who was struggling with anorexia. And I took that book and I memorized that book. And I practiced everything that I read, you know, and it worked. I lost a lot of weight in a very short amount of time. And suddenly I became popular. It was more about, you know, people, I got lots of attention. And my ego was all about that. You know, it just was really sucked into, finally I was popular, you know, and so, but I'm always that, you know, if this is good, then 5 more pounds is better, you know, and suddenly, you know, 100 pounds was too much, 95 looked better. Once I hit 95, 90 was my new goal. And so by time I was down to about 92 pounds, my teachers were the ones who actually did kind of an intervention on me, which kind of still kind of I guess I find interesting that it was the teachers and not my parents who, you know, decided that there was a problem. But anyway, the doctors got involved at that point. And one of my characteristics is I am a people pleaser. And I never want anybody to be mad at me or to be, you know, unhappy with me. And so on the surface, I would be very agreeable and I would say, yeah, I'm gonna, you know, play by the rules and gain weight and stuff. And behind closed doors, I went, when hell freezes over, I've worked so hard to get down to this weight. I am not going to do anything to jeopardize this weight loss. And finally, I had a doctor who cornered me. He said, you know, I don't believe that you're trying to lose or gain weight. I think you're playing games. And so he kind of scared me and he said, you know, either you start gaining weight or I will put you in the hospital. And I knew he meant business. He wasn't playing. And so I started eating. But when I started eating, I couldn't control it. It was like somebody opened the floodgates. And so my next best way of dealing with the compulsive eating was, okay, I'll eat and throw up. And so unfortunately that I had to work at it. You know, some people talk about it's easy, not me, you know, but I wasn't about to take no for an answer. And so I practiced until I got very good at it. And I binged and purged my way through two pregnancies. I was involved in an abusive marriage at that point. And yeah, it was the bulimia was the way I could cope with what everything else felt so out of control in my life. That was the one thing it felt like I had some control of was my eating. And yet that was the thing that was the most out of control in my life. At that point, it was after my second child was born, I decided I needed some help with my bulimia because I was binging up to 12 times a day. I still don't know how I know I had tore my esophagus at that point, and I was, you know, but for the grace of God, you know, I didn't end up in the emergency room somewhere. But I ended up in a treatment center, and I was introduced to the 12 steps of in the treatment center, and I would sit in on these open AA meetings, and I would listen to people talk about, you know, their stories. And I kept going, you know, my childhood was an absolute fairy tale compared to the stories I heard, you know, of what some of these people had gone through and survived. And I couldn't, why am I so screwed up, you know? And they kept talking about this being a disease. And I'm kind of going, this isn't a disease. This is, you know, diabetes is a disease. Cancer is a disease. You know, the fact I can't put a fork down is not a disease. And it wasn't only, it was, someone talked about the fact that they had an allergy to milk and that this allergy showed itself in a way that they craved milk. And I went, and it kind of clicked at that point because that's the way I am with sugar. I, you know, give me a sniff of sugar and I'm like a crazy woman with it. I mean, it just drives me. And so that at that point, you know, it took me a long time to get to a point where I kind of could understand and accept that this really has a, you know, a disease portion, a physical change. And yet I know in my very, you know, down to my very core that I am powerless when it comes to sugar and white flour and fat and the combination of it. Just, you know, when it gets those, I mean, that the obsession and the drive, it's no little, you know, food problem. It is flat driving my life. And so I have no reservations that I, you know, I have an allergy to those substances. When I got into or was introduced to OA, there was no there was some OA How people at the treatment center, and I heard that, you know, they didn't eat sugar and things like that. I thought, I don't want that. You know, I wanted to be one of these. Is it 10 minutes, Jody? All right. Thank you. I wanted to be one of these people in tradition or in regular OA that, you know, ate 3 moderate meals a day with nothing in between. You know, that to me sounded like a pretty good food plan. You know, that giving up sugar and weighing and measuring, that's for the really sick people. That wasn't for me. And yet that's, you know, and that's the only place I found peace. But anyway, I was in traditional OA for about 23 years, and I could never get abstinent. I could never stay abstinent. If I went 3 days without binging and purging, that was a miracle. I would go to retreats, and I would go to conventions, and I hated going because I would have to admit yet again that I wasn't abstinent. I finally went to a Region 1 convention in Missoula, Montana, and that was in October 2010. And I met someone who was in OA How, and she had what I wanted. She had a clean back-to-back abstinence. She had a normal-sized body, and she talked about, the recovery on a base that I had never seen before. I just was blown away by her, which I saw on her. And I didn't even care. I didn't even really know what OA How, 2-hour How was. I didn't care. I just wanted what she had. And so she wouldn't take me on as a sponsee because I asked her and she already had a sponsee. And so, but she gave me the phone list so that I could dial into the phone meetings because we don't have any face-to-face meetings here in Montana at all. Even when without a pandemic, we still don't have face-to-face meetings. There is traditional OA, but no OA How. And so, but I wasn't ready yet, even at that point in October. It took me another 7 months before I got the courage to dial in and to one of the phone meetings. And I felt like a fraud. I felt like you guys were going to ask me to leave, that you knew that, you know, somehow this imposter had, you know, broken through and snuck in the back. And, you know, and yet you guys didn't, you know, said, you know, glad you're here, or, you know, keep coming back, you know. And the speaker of that meeting, she gave her number at the end of the meeting, and I called her. And she didn't say she had an opening, but I just called her because she had a story similar to mine. And she agreed to sponsor me. And so she was my sponsor for about a year, I guess, but I had 3 food slips during that time, so she had to let me go. And it wasn't that I ever really picked up, but I would make mistakes, and that fear of making a mistake and, getting in trouble, I guess, was the biggest thing. And my ego, having to admit that I'd made a mistake, if that didn't want to, you know, that was part of it too. But she ended up letting me go. And so I had to find another sponsor. And we were together for about 2 years. And then she had a food slip. And so she let me go. And so my current sponsor is someone who I've been with probably, I'm guessing, about 4 years now. And I value her. She is a very no-nonsense kind of sponsor. And she is very, you know, very black and white, which is what I need, because my disease loves loopholes. It loves the, you know, to find any crack in, you know, any area, any flaw that it can kind of sneak in and try and, you know, get in and start creating the chatter in my head. And so I appreciate that with her, you know, she tries to keep everything very simple and very, you know, she always goes back to the guidelines, which is what I need, because I find that I've struggled with wanting to water down the program, especially with my sponsee, because again, you know, that not wanting anybody to be mad at me, not wanting any, you know, confrontation at all, has been something that's kind of plagued me throughout my recovery. And so, but what I have learned in, especially within the last couple of years, is that every time I wander down the program and have to go back and reestablish the guidelines or that boundary, you know, they're there for a reason, and the people who set them up knew what they were talking about. And so it really is easier if you just follow the guidelines and not make, you know, not try and be everybody's friend, you know, because truly I know that's what my disease needs. It needs that boundary. It doesn't need the watered down version. Let's see, what else did I want to, oh, the other thing I kind of wanted to, another area I'm really working on right now is service. I love the share that we had on service tonight about, you know, getting along with people. My focus on service has been, you know, it's like I can get really wound up in selfishness with my time. I after working, you know, my full-time job and whatever, I find that my free time I kind of hoard, and I don't want to give it away. But when I say the third step prayer and I say, you know, ask for the release of the bondage itself and to be able to give service with a gracious heart, God takes me up on it. And sometimes he asks me to do it when it's not convenient, and when it's not, and I am getting pretty close, when it's not always on my terms. And yet when I say yes to service, after everything's said and done, I'm always glad I've done service. Again, and my sponsor, her response to, you know, if someone asks you to do service, you can't say no unless you have a very good reason. And so she's a tough act to follow, but because I want what I see her program, you know, how she lives her life and her program, how she practices it in all of her affairs, and that's what I want. So I really am trying to do that with my program. And one of the questions that I was posed to was recently is, if everyone did as much service as you do, what shape would your group be in? And that one kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I really do try and give service at the meeting, but I've tried to step it up and do service on different levels, you know, too. But like they say, the best service we can do is to be abstinent. And so that is key each and every day. I think with that, it looks like we're really close to the end. So I think I'll pass with that. Thanks everyone for letting me do service tonight. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Katsy.
Thanks,
Katsy. Okay. I don't think we have time for pitches, because it's 8:55 by my time. Okay, I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all those who participated, especially our leader, our speaker, Katsy, who offered so much of herself or himself.
Thank you, Katsy.
Thanks, Katsy.
Thank you, Katsy. I got a lot out of your message. May we please have the reading for just for today? There's someone that was step up and read just for today.
Yes, hi everybody. I'm Anne Marie, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Anne Marie.
Hi, Anne Marie.
Hi, Anne Marie. Welcome.
Hi. Good to be here. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If somebody knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I do not want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable, will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not be able to follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all to myself to relax. During this half hour sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid, especially will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world gives to me. Thanks.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
To those who are still new to the, we would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. Thank you.
Interpreters.
To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should be safely remain here as respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. And let's pray for those who are still suffering. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept
Amen.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Pamela.
Congratulations, Ravitel.
Thank you, Pamela.
Congratulations, Ravitel.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Ravitel.
Thanks for all the service. Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, Catsy.
See you, Megan.
Hey.
Thank you, everyone.
Good to see everybody.
Hello.
There were newcomers on the line. Is